Father, again, we thank you for even now you have given us the grace and the opportunity to come together to praise you, to worship you, Lord. And we know, as always, that the entrance of your word gives light, it brings light, and it gives understanding to this simple. Cause the light to shine in our hearts this morning, illuminating our spirits, our minds, our souls, lifting up, let there be a lifting up to worship the Lord, even on today, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord and welcome everybody. I'm going to take a scripture reading. And we're going to use that as our lesson for worship today. So we're taking it, this today's lesson from the book of Revelation chapter 4. The book of Revelation chapter 4. Hallelujah. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a voice of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second was like a calf, and the third had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each one of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So that's our reading, scripture reading this morning. But let's break it down. Here is an experience of John, you know, being caught up to heaven. And he's going to witness firsthand what's going on there. Now, as you know, this book of Revelation opens up by inviting us to gaze into Christ, basically, because that's what it said in chapter 1. It's not gaze upon anything but Christ. That's what this book is all about. Right here in Revelation chapter 1 and verse, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. not the revelation of John, as the compilers of this Bible called that book. It's not the revelation of John at all. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written herein, for the time is at hand. So there's a blessing just to hear and to read, you know, these things that are written in this book of Revelation. But let's go back to chapter 4, now that we have established that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it is for us to gaze upon the Christ. So John was caught up to heaven after the instruction of messages that he was to write to the churches. Then he was caught up, and it looked like the next thing he knows, he said, immediately I was in the spirit. So he found himself in heaven. Now, some people have been privileged to experience various things like that. You can be caught up, and immediately you find yourself somewhere else. And you are here, but you are there, you know. So John was on the Isle of Patmos, but at the same time, in this chapter, was right there in the very presence of God. He found himself caught up to heaven. And let's see what he saw when he got there. The first thing he noticed was a throne. Now, this thing caught his attention. It must have been something really awesome to look at. And then so he said, behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, not three or five or six. There was one person that sat on the throne, and he, not they, that sat on the throne was to look upon like a jasper. And he began to describe it. I mean, there was something about this one who was on the throne, you know. So that's a question for us to think about today. When we get to heaven, how many will you see on the throne? How many gods will we see sitting on the throne? Well, John saw one that sat on the throne. And he described him. He said, look, there was even a rainbow around that throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Around about the throne, then he began to see some other little thrones. You know, so, you know, there was, but you'll notice the way in the King James, some other versions call them different things. In this King James calls those little ones just seats, because he wanted to make a distinction between the throne and those seats. Well, they were also kind of thrones, and they sat around the throne. It's around about the throne, there were 24 seats. So he was looking at it, he's like, what is all this? And I saw on each of those 24 seats, one person sitting. So they counted 24 elders. So the elders means they look like older people. You know, now, when you're caught up in the spirit, ladies and gentlemen, there are some things that you just know. You know, you just know some things. Nobody needs to tell you. There's some other things you may not know, and God may give you opportunity to ask questions. But sometimes you just know certain things. In this particular case, John just knew that these were elders. He saw them. They look also like elders. You know, and he said, but he didn't say to us in this particular verse, we'll have insight later on, you know, who these elders are. But in this place, he didn't say. He was just looking, trying to capture what he was seeing. And I saw these 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. So immediately he noticed that these 24 elders also had crowns on their head. So had they been crowned? Where the crowns came from, we're not told at this point, but they had crowns on their head. And then as he looked further, he saw out of the throne. This is a strange thing, you know, this is a strange thing because, you know, there's lightnings, thunderings, and voices coming out of the throne. And there's only one sitting on the throne, yet there are voices. There's only one sitting on the throne, and there are thunderings and lightnings coming out from the throne. And he's fixated at this point, just looking at the throne. And then he saw, next thing he noticed, you know, was right around the throne, he saw that there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, kind of like in front of the throne. And somehow, you know, he got the revelation that these are seven spirits of God. Well, he said seven spirits of God. Yeah, but you can't number God like we number things in the natural. The seven spirits of God here, the seven dimensions and workings of his spirit. It's not like God is seven. You really can't count God like that. There are millions of people in this world right now that have the Holy Spirit in them. So God is neither seven nor millions. But he depicted also fullness, you know, capturing the fullness and the essence of the Spirit of God. Now, as he looked further, he saw that there were also, you know, some other things. In front of the throne, there was a sea of glass that come to crystal. Well, it was actually crystal, but it looked like a sea, you know. And he said, wow. And then he looked some more. And then he said, look, something is going on here. In the midst of the throne. Now, this throne must be somehow big because there's a lot of things that are happening inside this throne, right? First, he saw somebody. That was the first thing that caught his attention. And then next thing he also seeing, you know, the things around the throne, which he just described. But now he looks a little closer and he sees in the midst of the throne and round about the throne. You know, so this throne is something, just imagine it. And if God privileges you to see something in the spirit, he'll show you how great this throne is. Then there were these living creatures, you know, there were four of them around the throne. It looks like they're in the midst. It looks like they're around. I mean, it looks like these things can be anywhere, you know. They're here, they're there, they're in the middle, they're around, you know. And he's looking and he said, wow. And the things that caught his attention, he looked at the first beast, looked like a lion. Looked at the second living creature. It looked like a calf. Then he looked at the third and he saw that this thing had a face of a man. Then he looked at the fourth as a flying eagle. Well, there are revelations about those things, what they represent. But since I want to stay on worship, I'm going to that today. Now, he also saw that these living creatures, they had six wings. I mean, wings, wow. And you can see, if you read in Isaiah chapter 6, you'll see where some living creatures also, you know, that Isaiah saw that has six wings. With two of the wings, they flew. With two of the wings, they covered themselves. With two of the wings, they did this and that. You know, so same thing is he's seeing here. Six wings, and they were full of eyes. Within, I mean, it's like, I mean, how can somebody be full of eyes? How many eyes as a person do you have? You have two. But these living creatures, it's like I mean, they're hard to describe. I mean, it just look like they can see everywhere. It's like they're multi, I mean, their sight is multi-directional, you know. They can see everywhere. They can see to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. They can see top, they can see bottom. And it's like his eyes are just spinning and they're going around like that and can see everything. And he's saying, my goodness. And he noticed something. I mean, he was there for just a moment, but it seemed like he had been there forever. Because in that moment, he's knowing a lot of things. He's knowing that these creatures, they are not resting. It looks like he's seeing what they've been doing. He just got there, but it looks like he knows what they've been doing. You know, and they rest, not day and night. And he's listening now. What are they saying? They're saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So their worship, this is the word, these are the words that these creatures are using in their worship. And there are some other things they do along with their worship. First, they call him holy. They acknowledge him as the Lord God Almighty. They acknowledge him as being self-existent, who has always been, who is now, and who is yet to come. They acknowledge him as, you know, I mean, he's just, you can't, there's no end to him, you know. And he says also that when these living creatures give glory and honor to him, glory, honor, and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever, then the 24 elders joined. They also fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns. My goodness, I mean, there's a lot of activity going on with this. And they cast their crowns. We're told that these ones cast their crowns before the throne. Now, this was their worship, what they said. The other one said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And then this one says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So what we see in this chapter, where it's depicting the Supreme King and the Creator of all things. Because remember, he said, for thou hast created all things. And he's also the one that sits on the throne. Somebody that sits on the throne is a king, right? So this chapter depicts him as the king. And actually, supreme king. You know, because there is all these little kings, so to speak, that sit on other thrones around there. But there's this supreme king. And he's also the creator and the splendor, the glory, the awesomeness around him, you know, and all of his creation, whether they are in heaven or earth, anywhere else, you know, all these, you know, different dimensions of his creation. We'll learn later on about the 24 elders. You know, we'll learn that, you know, they were redeemed from the earth. You know, so they represent, you know, God's people down through the ages. But we'll also see that then there were these living creatures and all kinds of things around the throne. Now, one thing we notice right away here is the activity around the throne is about giving glory to God. The activity around the throne is by calling out his awesomeness, you know, and the fact that he is the only one that's been forever and will ever be. The activity around the throne is to give him glory and honor. And they gave him their crowns as well. You know, they cast their crowns before the throne. I'm reminded of Paul that said, you know, what things were gain unto me, what things I thought I had achieved, I cast them down before his throne, before him as dung. And I call it as nothing. I mean, it's nothing that I may gain him. And these creatures and these four and 20 elders. And who are these elders? I mean, why are they around the throne? Are they around the throne to check the Lord, make sure that he's doing the right thing? You know how elders are in the church. You know, elders, you know, they have certain roles, you know, check everything, make sure everything is in order and so forth. You know, they have the ministry, you know, making sure things are in line, you know, and so on. They can also pray for the sick. They can do all these things, you know, but most of the time they make sure that things are in line, you know. So, I mean, are these ones here to check the Lord, make sure he's in line? No, they are here as a cloud of witnesses to let you know that, look, for all the time that we've been here, I've never seen him fail. Praise the Lord. We've never seen him fail. And they are so awed. I mean, the awesomeness of God just captivates them. And they are not tired to say it day and night, day after day. Well, actually, there is no night there, but as far as John, that's the best that he could describe it. You know, they rest not, he said, just doing all these things, calling out the beauty of holiness day and night. In John's mind, it's still like day and night, but these people have no day and night. They're there all the time. And worship, praising the Lord, casting down their crowns and all of their achievements, basically, you know, and these are, you know, creatures that John was seeing. He didn't understand it all, but some of it he understood, but he noticed what they were doing. And, you know, but these people, these 24 elders, they knew how to give glory to God. It reminds us of a story in Daniel chapter 4 of a man called Nebuchadnezzar, verses 29 to about 37. He did not know how to give glory to God. I mean, he had achieved greatness. I mean, in fact, greatness. I mean, he built the hanging gardens of, you know, Babylon and all these things. I mean, amazing things that even history records. I mean, he has done at that time, he had done tremendous things. And he was on top of the world. Yeah, but he didn't know how to give glory to God. In fact, he gave glory to himself, you know. And he said, look, you know, it's not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty. I mean, he gave glory to himself. I mean, all these things, he strutted, you know, back and forth throughout the palace and said, hey, look, look at my greatness. Isn't this all stuff that I've done and I've built for the excellency of my kingdom and my glory for myself and my majesty? I mean, it was all my, you know, and he did not give glory to God. God was going to show him, you know, that none of these things could have been yours if God didn't give them to you. So the Lord showed him for 7 years, you know the story. But here is a group of elders that know how to worship. So there are some elements of worship that we see here. And those are the things that we want to consider, you know, elements of worship. You know, when you can really get into that realm of beholding the awesomeness of God, that's the first thing that John, you know, remember, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, the whole book. So, you know, John, in the first chapter, he had, you know, an encounter, you know, of Christ. I mean, you know, when he was there, as he Book of Revelation opened, I mean, he saw some things and he heard some things and he saw and everything. And he didn't know at first, but he found out quickly who it was, because this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, everything you see here, the book is going to culminate all the things that have been happening since Genesis, is going to culminate here in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, when John began his experience in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, and so many things that he experienced. He heard, he said, look, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I heard behind me a great voice, you know, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And he commanded him, what thou seest, write it in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And he called them out, Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea and so on. And when I turned to see the voice, because he was heard the voice from behind it. So he turned around. He said, I'm being turned. First thing he noticed, he saw seven golden candlesticks. He was looking for the voice, but he saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of those candlesticks, he saw one like the Son of Man. I mean, kind of recognized him. I mean, John had been around him, you know, so in the spirit, he said, well, that's got to be the Christ, you know. And then he was clothed down to the foot, you know, and a golden girdle was there. His head and his hairs were like, whoa, this is not the way John saw him. The only time he saw him like this was on Mount Transfiguration, when he was transfigured and became like white before them. And this time around, he saw his head and his hairs were like, whoa, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. Now, John never saw that before. You know, flame of fire in his eyes. His feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burnt in a furnace. And then, you know, his voice was like many waters. And he had in his right hand, he looked and he said, my goodness, what's going on? He had in his right hand seven stars. I call him the seven star general. That's right. He had in his hand the seven stars. And out of his mouth went forth a sharp two-edged sword. And John was looking at his countenance, the shining of his face was as if, you know, the sun on the brightest time that the sun is shining in his strength. John couldn't take it all in. He fell at his feet as dead. Now, this is the same John that used to brag that he was the disciple whom Christ loved. You know, he liked to say that, well, I'm the one that seated closest to him at dinner. I'm the one that leaned on his shoulder and everything. There's no leaning now. You know, because he coming out differently now. Now his eyes are flaming of fire. His voice are like thunder. And he's got this thing going on with him. You know, there's an awesomeness. And John couldn't look. He fell at his feet as dead. Wow. And this is the glorified Christ now. And when I looked, and he thought, you know, and then this figure laid his right hand on him. He could feel it. And he said to him, fear not. And you know, and that's Christ. And John remembered it. He remembered all the times that Christ would always say, fear not. He said, fear not. I am the first and the last. And that's how he introduced himself, this figure. You know, he said, I am the first and the last. Not the second or the third, but I am the first and I am the last. And I am he that liveth and was dead. So we know who that was. You know, so make no mistake about it. I'm the same one that was living. I'm living now. And I died. And then I came out of that grave. So we know he was talking who he was. John knew that had to be the Christ. You know, and I'm alive forevermore. But he called himself first and last. My goodness. Now, he said, what thou hast seen, write in a book, you know, and so forth. The things which you have seen, the things which are happening now, the things which will be hereafter. And now he told him, look, these seven stars that you see in my hand, begin to tell him what the golden candlesticks are. But what caught John's attention, and he wrote it here, was the fact that he called himself first and last. He also said, look, I'm he that was dead, but now I'm alive. My goodness. And so by the time we get to John chapter 4, John is caught up again in heaven. And this time around, he's seeing things. And then he begins to see all these things. So the elements of worship that we are seeing here, the awesomeness of God, that's number one. I mean, the oneness of God too. We see that because he said one sat on the throne. So these are the elements of worship. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And Jesus said it too when they asked him, what's the great commandment? He quoted that. You know, and so as we begin to look and gaze upon the beauty of holiness here, first thing we do is recognize the awesomeness of God in our lives. If you can gaze, if God allows you to see in the spirit, you'll see many things. And then you begin to see all the activity around him. And everything was directed to giving glory to God. Everything that's going on in heaven, giving glory to God. So we see the worship. What are the other things they did about their worship? Well, they were saying things, you know, what God meant, what they have understood, holiness of God, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and all these things. And then they are casting their honor and giving glory to him. Even the elders. I mean, these are, you know, representations of, you know, all the peoples of God. And they've achieved a lot. They've even received crowns. Paul said, no, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of glory. You know, because I fought a good fight. And he said, but not only for me, but for anyone, you know, who gets the same victory. There will be a crown of glory. And these people have received a crown, and different crowns. We don't know at this point what crowns they were, but they did have crowns. They cast it down. So we see all the things that's involved in worship here. And that's what we want to do today. We want to gaze upon him in the spirit. We want to tell him how the splendor of his beauty, and if God allows you to see it, it's captivating. And then you want to hear, you might hear something, you know, some voices come out of his presence. You know, maybe he'll say something to you, you know, but while you are there, you tell him how great he is. You know, while you are there, you cast all your achievements before him. I mean, there's no need to come before the Lord. There's a story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 18. He said, look, he told this story because of those who thought they were better than others and despised others. They, you know, thought in themselves that they were self-righteous and despised others. And he said, two men went to pray in Luke chapter 18. And the one of them who was a Pharisee, I mean, look at the way he prayed. You know, he didn't, I mean, he came out here and said, you know, look, you know, I thank God that I'm not like other men. I'm not even like this sinner over here, this publican over here, and so forth, you know. And he began to, you know, say all the things that he, you know, he was unable to do. He said, look, I fast twice a day. I do all of these things and so on. You know, I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. You know, I'm not wicked like all these other people. You know, I mean, I give tithes of all I possess. I mean, he just bragged of all his achievements. He never cast any of his achievements before the Lord. Well, not that prayer didn't go anywhere. So Jesus told us that his prayer didn't go anywhere. But there was one poor man there, one sinner that repented and could not even lift his face before God. His prayer was heard. The one that did not, I mean, he had achieved things. You know, he had the righteousness of the law. He was a Pharisee. He kept the law, did all these things. But he did not cast those things before the Lord. And his prayer went nowhere. So true worship is for us to gaze upon him, to call out his glory and everything. And then you listen too. Maybe he might say something. But you cast your achievements before the Lord. And these people said, look, thine were all things. All things were created for you and for your pleasure. They are and they were created. So that's me. That's you. That's even the devil. That's everything. You know, so we cast our crowns and we worship the Lord. And out of that worship experience, some tremendous things started to happen to John. John began to see even more things. You'll see how the chapters unfolded from chapter 5 and so on. There was more things that were revealed to him. But I'm not going there today. Just want to talk on this worship. I want to also take time this morning and try some of these elements of worship that we see here. Try gazing upon him in the spirit. And let's see what you might see. You never know what he might show you. He might show you some of his attributes. You know, like he said, come up here and I'll show you some things. He said to John, the Lord might just show you some things. I mean, maybe he'll allow you to see something when you gaze in the spirit. You know, maybe you'll see some activity. Maybe you'll learn something. Maybe you meet somebody. You know, you never know what you can do in a moment like that. You know, the Lord can take you in the spirit. But, you know, it's one thing that is so hard. I want to bring this out also in this element of, you know, worship. The physical worship. I mean, our entire life is a life of worship. That's what believers are. You will worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Our entire life, not just the moments of worship, but today I'm talking about the moments of worship. The moments of worship. And it's so hard for many of us to do it. We just can't, you know, we can't do it. And it takes, you know, us being transformed in a moment of quietness, raptured into his glory, you know, but it's very, very difficult for us to do it. One time I did an experiment, you know, I said that people should, you know, like the Lord says, be still and know that I am God, right? Well, how do you be still? To stand still in the presence of God, you might find out that the flesh can't do it. The flesh cannot do it. Try it someday. Try to just stand still. And we're going to try it here in this room in a minute. To just stand still and shut everything out before the Lord. 10 minutes. See if you can do it. Within the first 3 minutes, you might think of something. You know, maybe your phone might ring. Maybe you'll think of, I mean, these things happen all the time. People come into the church service and we're trying to worship the Lord. And in that moment where you're supposed to be raptured, or you're thinking of what you did before you came to church or what you're going to do after, you know, and thoughts, all kinds of weird stuff. Check your messages, do this and that. You know, even religious thoughts come in as a distraction. There's all kinds of distraction at that time. When you are in his presence like that, that's a time for everything. That's a time to be in his presence. That's a time to go and listen to, oh, I got to go listen to those replay. No, that's not the time to listen to the replay. Listen to the replay later on. Listen to that wonderful message later on. That's a time for everything. When you are in his presence, it's in his presence. That's it. You know, that's not the time to even have these religious thoughts, but we get distracted. People can't stand still for 10 minutes. Just stand still. But if you can, he can reveal things worth 24 years to you in those 10 minutes. But the flesh can't handle it. Our flesh cannot handle the presence of God. You know, so the thing to do is the flesh must die. That's right. We must kill, as part of true worship, we got to kill the flesh. Because it won't, this flesh hates God, and God hates the flesh. They are both of them at loggerheads, the spirit and the flesh, they're contrary one to another, the scripture says. And so, you know, the flesh, when you try to come in before the Lord, is going to think of all kinds of reasons why you can't be there. Well, because God is holy, and the flesh is not. And so the flesh can't deal with his presence, you know, but so we got to put that flesh under, put the flesh on the altar, kill that flesh. Scripture calls it mortify the deeds of the flesh. Put that flesh on the altar, kill that flesh, get away from it all. You know, all the things of the flesh, the distractions, the things, the thoughts and the this and the that, so, you know, it's not in his presence. Let you say, you know, keep silent before me, O house, Isaiah 41. Just just be silent before the Lord, you know. Just keep silence before Him for a few minutes and worship Him. And as you enter and as you gaze upon Him, He'll begin to show you that, you know, the things, He will reveal His attributes to you. And you can worship those attributes. And in that posture, here's something that happens. I'm going to read this and then we're going to worship and pray and praise the Lord. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, this is an element that we need to practice. You know, practice gazing upon Him. Here's how He puts it. 1 John chapter 3 said, "Beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knew us not, because it knew Him not." That's just the background. Verse 2 is where I'm going. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." We already are. "But it does not quite yet appear what we should be. But we know," see, "that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Well, you can think of that in two different ways. When the Lord shall appear, we shall see Him as He is. We understand that. But when He says He says, "When the Lord shall appear, we shall be like Him." Okay? So that's the end state that the Lord prescribed from the beginning anyway. John 8:29. We've spoken about that many times. Genesis 1:26. Be like Him. But He says, "For we shall see Him as He is." Now that word "for" there is a conjunction to what was said before. And the revelation out of that is this. When He appears to you during that moment of worship, just like John, the attributes of Him that you see and adore, those are what you can become. Let me say that again. When you are in the moments of worship and you are drawn into His presence, and you found a way to sift out all the distractions, and you gaze upon Him, what He reveals to you, He might reveal His holiness. Then you can become holy. You know, what He reveals to you is what you can become. He said, look, when we see Him as He is, that's right. When we see Him as He is, we shall be like Him. So what you see in Him is holiness, His love, His mercy, His eyes of compassion, His heart of compassion. What you see in Him during those moments, that's what you can become. What we love in Him, what we adore in Him, what we see in Him is what we can become. There are other ways to see Him too. All day long you can see Him in His word. By just reading the Word of God, meditating on it, and allowing the Holy Spirit to show you different things about the Lord. And that's a practice that we must learn all day long. But in moments of worship, in the silent moments, when the Lord says, "Be still and know that I am God." See, you can't know until you are still. You know. So, and He said, look, be silent before Me, or let all the aisles and everything be silent before Me. You know, so we're going to practice that this morning. Praise the Lord. Psalm 46 and verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God." You know, so when you are still, when you are able to shut everything else out, wow. You know, that's when, you know, you can really, you know, just like the Lord was showing to Elijah, 1 Kings 19, you know, He was going to show him the still small voice. He was going to show him that experience. First, there was the thundering and the earthquakes and the all rocks shattering and all these things. But He said, the Lord was not in it. And then there was the fire and there were all of these things. And say, well, but the Lord was not in it. And then there was some more stuff that happened. And we said, but the Lord was not in there. You know, I mean, are you kidding me? The thunderings and the lightnings. Why could not the Lord be in those things? Well, the Lord was trying to show him something. You know, and it wasn't anything like it. You know, the still small voice. You got to be still to hear it. What doest thou hear, Elijah? You know, and then the Lord began to show him many things and began to reveal to him this next phase, you know, of his journey. You know, but it wasn't the wind and it wasn't the earthquake and it wasn't the fire. I mean, all those things can be noisy, you know. Behold, the Lord passed by and great and strong wind rent the mountains and break the pieces in rocks and so forth. But the Lord was not in the wind. The wind went before him, but the Lord was not in the wind. You can read that in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 11. And then after the wind and the, you know, all that, the Lord, you know, then there was an earthquake that went after the wind, you know, and shattered the earth and rented the earth and so forth. But still, the Lord was not in the earthquake. You know, and then after the earthquake, there was a fire enfolding itself. I mean, you would think, and these are the attributes that we've seen the Lord with before. I mean, like Ezekiel, fire and all these things and attributes and so on. But this time around, God was showing Elijah something. All of those phenomena, the Lord was not in him. And after all of that, there was a still small voice. Be still and know that I am God. We're going to go into a moment of worship now, and we're going to pray. I want to invite us to practice the presence of the Lord. It's called practicing his presence. And when you next time you gather together with believers, other believers, try it. Next time you have your own moment, some people call it quiet time, or try it. You know, try to get away from everything and see if you can gaze upon him. You might be surprised the transformation that may happen. Praise the Lord. You might find yourself laying your hand upon your mouth and say, I am a man of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King. That's right. You know, you need to see him as a king. Isaiah, he saw it. John, he saw it. Sitting on the throne. To him that sit on the throne, glory and honor and power and dominion. Excellent. So, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, brothers and sisters, we are going to pray in a moment of worship. I want you to take time. Take a few minutes. Although, just soak in his presence. Keep silence before me, O house, and be still and know that I am God. During these next 2 or 3 minutes, I want us to do that. Just be silent. No speaking in tongues. No shouting or screaming. None of that stuff. Just be silent before him and gaze upon him. See what he will show you. Praise God. So let's do it. Beginning now. And in a few minutes, I'll call us back to attention. In Jesus' name, we have worshiped. Do you see how hard that was? And the more we practice, the easier it will be to transition into his presence. First times you try it, you can't do it. You know, your mind is still everywhere. You can't gaze upon him. Try it more and more. Take time out during the day. Find time. Cut out everything else. And practice the presence of the Lord. Be surprised what you see. But now, let's do that now. You can open your mic. You can pray. You can pray in the spirit. You can pray in the or your understanding. You can sing. You can shout the victory. That's the one that we're more used to. Let's try that now. Let's thank him. Tell him, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, thou who was and is to come. And tell him that, you know, without him, you could have achieved nothing. Cast your crowns before the Lord. Hallelujah. I invite you to come in now, open your mics, and let's begin to praise the Lord. Let's begin to tell him how great he is.